Researchers draw on anonymous cell phone tracking data and identified locations associated with the most coronavirus infections. I'm David Brancaccio. A new study looks at where the coronavirus is most likely to spread. It also offers more evidence on why lower-income people tend to be at greater risk. Marketplace's Nancy Marshall-Genzer joins us with some details.
Well, this new study, which was published in the journal Nature, says just 10% of the locations people visit appear to account for 80% of coronavirus infections. Those places include restaurants, houses of worship, gyms, and hotels. One researcher says if you reduce their capacity by 20%, you could curb COVID transmissions by 80%.
And why is having lower income a risk factor?
The study says many lower-income people are essential workers. They can't do their jobs from home. It also says a visit to a grocery store is twice as dangerous for a lower-income individual compared to someone in a higher-income bracket. The study says stores in poorer areas had almost 60% more shoppers per square foot per hour. That could be because there are fewer stores in those neighborhoods, so they get more crowded.
And this data draws from the trackers in our phones?
They analyzed anonymous data from the cell phones of 98 million people living in 10 major U.S. cities, tracking their movements. They made an outbreak model that mostly matched actual coronavirus outbreaks. Of course, they can't say for sure where people caught COVID. They also didn't have phone location data on visits to nursing homes or schools.
Thank you. The European Union has put the biggest order in yet, 300 million doses for the Pfizer-BioNTech coronavirus vaccine, which the company said were very effective earlier this week. In the U.S., Dr. Anthony Fauci said this week that once FDA approval comes, the first doses in the U.S. could go to the highest risk people by next month. Well, what happened in early November? Well, there was an election, and tests showed a leading coronavirus vaccine candidate works well in humans. And for investment professionals, there was the great rotation based on a sense of new hope the economy can eventually move on from COVID. If not now, then maybe next year. In Chicago, Susan Schmidt is head of U.S. equities at Aviva Investors.
It will take a while, but remember that investors base their decisions on future earnings, not what's happened in the past. The future has been very uncertain, and investors have taken a very cautious approach. Up until now, this year has been rewarding those growth stocks, especially big technology. With this announcement of the vaccine, most of that has essentially reversed. We've seen a big gain in the S&P 500, not a big move in the NASDAQ.
That's Susan Schmidt at Aviva Investors. Is there any way that filing taxes could be made less of a hassle in a Biden administration? Let's bring in from St. Paul, Marketplace's senior economics contributor, Chris Farrell. Morning, Chris.
Good morning, David.
Tax simplification is hard. Actually, any reform, not just of the tax rate, but of the structure of the tax system is hard. I mean, look at what we have now. The word pastiche comes to mind.
Economists just despair. They despair at the waste from the billions of hours and billions of dollars spent on filing, administrative compliance costs. And, you know, I guess the latest case in point, America's complex tax code is what's allowed for these financial maneuvers that let President Trump pay so little in taxes.
Yeah, I was going to say, you know, if you reform the system, it's going to be harder to cheat. I'm not talking about the president, but really anyone so inclined.
Yeah, and here's the thing. People are really worried that reform might hurt their finances. And this is why this recent scholarly paper grabbed my attention. And it has a simple, although less ambitious, step toward tax reform. Now, titles, I don't know if you noticed this, David, with economic papers, they're getting longer and longer. In estimating the costs of filing tax returns and the potential savings from policies aimed at reducing these costs, economist Yusuf Benzardi calculates that not only does tax filing impose a yearly cost in excess of 1% of our economy, but that this cost has been steadily rising over the years.
So, you know, long title, many suggestions, but what is one that stands out that you'd like to highlight?
All right, here's the one that I like. Have the IRS take the tax-related information that it already gets from employers, banks, what, dividend income, pension income, and taxpayers would receive a pre-filled out form. You look it over. It's okay with you? Sign it. Send it back with a check if you owe, or wait for your refund. And that seems like a good place to start.
I mean, it sounds like science fiction that we would do something like that in the United States, but other countries do.
Well, at last count, 36 countries, and it's the so-called, you know, return-free filing. Now, to be really clear, this reform would do nothing about complicated taxes like Trump's and other wealthy people. But, you know, David, in normal times, about half of American taxpayers earn all their income from one employer's wages. And so this pre-filled out form could cut compliance costs by about 43%. And by the way, it's not a radical idea. President Reagan, he liked it, and Congress did direct the IRS to develop this idea back in 1998.
Chris Farrell, our senior economics contributor, speaking from St. Paul. Thank you very much.
Thanks a lot, David.
We've also been covering the 9 million people who never got their $1,200 pandemic relief checks, in large part lower-income people and college students who had no reason to file tax returns, which the government uses to route the checks. But there's a deadline for filing to get the check. It's November 21st, about 10 days from now. In fact, 10 days from now. But here's a wrinkle. If you get a random text message promising the check, do not click. The IRS says the texts are scams to get you to hand over banking information before you're at the actual IRS site online. I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.